This is Frances Morrison. I'm going to give a series of lectures called Very Mini Med School, and it will be descriptions of common diseases and conditions. My background is in medicine and public health, as well as informatics, with master's degrees in public health and biomedical informatics, and training at the New York City Health Department, as well as the Columbia University Department of Biomedical Informatics. My goal in these lectures is to give people who do not have a clinical background a language to use when communicating with clinicians, as well as to understand some of the elements that they'll find in an electronic health record. The objectives of this lecture and the next two lectures after this are to know the common diseases and conditions in the United States, centered around the most common causes of death, as well as understand some basic physical processes related to the conditions, some essential data elements that they'll find when encountering these conditions in a health record, and some lab radiology and clinical finding data related to the conditions and what those mean. As I mentioned, I'm centering the discussion of medical terms and medical concepts around the top 10 causes of death in the United States. And these are the top 10, including heart disease, cancer, stroke, lower respiratory diseases, accidents, Alzheimer's, diabetes, lung infections like influenza pneumonia, kidney diseases such as nephritis, nephrotic syndrome, and nephrosis, as well as septicemia. I'm only going to be discussing some of these that you see with asterisks because they tend to get fairly redundant and you can understand a lot of the main concepts just around those six that I am going to discuss. The first disease I'm going to discuss is heart disease. The term heart disease is very broad and can encompass many different conditions and diseases involving the heart. I'm going to talk about two main ones, which is heart attack or coronary artery disease, as well as congestive heart failure or heart failure. You can see the anatomy of the lungs and the heart, where the heart is positioned between the two lungs. I've highlighted the areas where early symptoms of heart disease can show up, which is having fluid in the lungs or the extremities, as well as chest pain. The physiology of the circulatory system, which consists of the heart and blood vessels, can be thought of as a figure eight, where the heart pumps blood through arteries to the extremities and organs, which travels back to the heart through veins and is then pumped out again to the lungs to pick up oxygen through arteries and back to the heart through veins. The left side of the heart controls or pumps blood to most of the organs, including the brain, kidneys, liver, and the extremities. The right side of the heart pumps blood to the lungs. What happens when the heart fails is that, first of all, the arteries are not carrying the oxygenated blood to the organs that need it, so that you can have decreased oxygen in various organs, of which the brain is particularly sensitive. The other thing that happens is that the blood does not return properly, so there's a backup that goes all the way to either the lungs or the extremities, depending on which side of the heart is not functioning properly. So that results in a fluid buildup called edema that can either happen in the lower legs or the lungs. Heart disease or coronary artery disease is caused by a narrowing of the arteries that feed the heart. This is very important because the heart is a muscle that needs a lot of oxygen, and when the arteries are narrowed, less blood and therefore less oxygen are able to feed those muscles, and they start being damaged. Heart muscle cells do not divide very quickly. They don't repair themselves very well, so any heart damage tends to cause scarring and long-term lack of functioning. You can see the coronary arteries on the left that comes straight off of the aorta, which is the largest artery in the body and curves over the top of the heart, as you can see. The narrowing of the vessels is caused by some amount of damage, followed by fatty deposits and scarring in the inside of the blood vessel or the lumen, which can result in either any piece of material getting stuck inside that lumen and stopping the blood flow, or narrowing to the point where the muscle is not getting enough oxygen. Some of the terms you'll see in a patient's record related to heart disease include cardiac disease, coronary artery disease, atherosclerosis, which is a fatty deposits in a blood vessel, arteriosclerosis, which is scarring of the arteries or narrowing of the arteries. Angina is chest pain due to damage to the heart muscle. Congestive heart failure is when the heart is functioning poorly and congestion or buildup of fluid occurs in the lungs, which is also pulmonary congestion. And edema is simply swelling caused by the fluid buildup, usually referring to the extremities. You can see that I circled one of the main word roots. Word roots in medicine are very important. They can give you a clue what meanings of words are, even if you've never seen the word. So a major word root is cardiac, which actually is the Latin for heart. The word root athero means fatty, so atherosclerosis is fatty deposits and scarring, and that can refer to either arteries or veins, although it's more common in arteries. Arteriosclerosis is scarring of the arteries, so the word root artery means, the word root arterio means artery. And sclerosis, as I indicated earlier, just means scarring. So there are other phrases like scleroderma is a disease where derm or skin is scarred. So sclero is a term for scar. You'll see the word root pulm a lot, which refers to lung. So pulmonary congestion is congestion of the lungs. Heart disease is associated with increasing age, not surprisingly. Also, family history. Smoking is a large contributor to heart disease. Hypertension or high blood pressure, as well as high cholesterol, can be responsible for the fatty deposits in arteries, as well as diabetes. And some of these I will cover in later lectures. Prevention and treatment of heart disease include exercise and diet, as well as medication, such as blood thinning medications like aspirin is one that causes fewer clots that would potentially stop the blood flow in coronary arteries, as well as cholesterol lowering, blood pressure lowering medications. Angiogram and angioplasty are major treatments for heart disease. An angiogram is when a tube is placed in the blood vessel, usually through the leg, and it's snaked up through the coronary arteries, and dye is released and watched on basically a moving X-ray, so you can see where the narrowing occurs. And then usually that's followed by angioplasty, which is a widening of that area that's narrowed through the same using that same type of tube. Surgery can also be done. So you may have heard the term CABG or coronary artery bypass graft, where they literally just take other blood vessels and put it around that area of narrowing to make sure that the blood is getting to the muscle. Labs you'll see a lot when a person has heart disease include a cardiac panel, chemistry panel, CBC or complete blood count, and clotting tests, and I'll go into each of these labs in a little more detail. Generally, the cardiac panel is to detect damage to the muscle cells. Chemistry panel is to determine whether the electrolytes are normal in the blood. A complete blood count looks at the cells in the blood to see if they are at the normal levels. And clotting tests, the purpose is to find how fast the blood is clotting. People who have heart disease will get a lot of chest x-rays to look at whether there is fluid in the lungs or if the heart is enlarged. An electrocardiogram, which is shortened as EKG, sometimes ECG, is basically a diagram of the electrical movement through the heart. The heart knows to pump by an electrical pulse, so there's an electrical pulse followed by pumping of the heart, and if the diagram or the outline of the EKG is abnormal, you can see that there's damage or scarring or lack of muscle function in certain areas. An echocardiogram is a ultrasound of the heart that can look at blood flow and see if it's flowing normally. And an angiogram I described earlier is another test to see if there's narrowing in the coronary arteries. You can see the word root gram is just a picture, so an electrocardiogram is a picture of the electricity running through the heart. Angio means blood vessel, so an angiogram is, again, a picture of the vessels of the heart. As I discussed, I'm going to go through several of the labs that are common in medical records. The first one I'm going to discuss is the cardiac panel. The premise for cardiac panels is that when heart cells or heart muscle cells are damaged, they release specific components that only the heart has, and these can be detected in the blood by lab tests. And two of these lab tests that are very common are CKMB, which is creatinine kinase, type of material found in the muscle cells of the heart, as well as troponin. These typically are run in multiple series to see if the heart damage is increasing or decreasing, and these can often be delayed so that the damage is only detected several hours after the heart damage occurs. The next disease I'm going to talk about is cancer. As you can see, cancer can occur in many different parts of the body. I've listed the top 10 causes of cancer in the United States, including lung, breast, kidney, colon, ovary, the basic physiological process of cancer is that cells divide out of control. This happens when DNA is damaged. The DNA is the basic instruction set in each cell, and it has regulations on how rapidly a cell divides. So, for example, skin cells divide fairly rapidly. You get a new layer of skin cells every day or so. And that occurs by the bottommost layer of those skin cells dividing. If the DNA is damaged, then these cells don't know to stop dividing, and they start replicating out of control, which uses up all of the nutrients and oxygen, all the resources needed for functioning cells around it to work, which is why that ends up being harmful to a person's health. Some related terms you'll see surrounding cancer include DNA, carcinoma, carcinogen, which is a cancer-causing substance. Carcinoma is simply another way of saying cancer. Malignant, which is a term that means cancerous, specific to whether a tumor is benign or malignant. So there can be benign tumors or masses, but a malignant tumor is always a cancer. Oncology is the area of medicine that addresses cancer issues. Metastasis is when cancer cells leave their original site and move through the body and start growing somewhere else. very common areas of metastasis are where there's a lot of blood flowing through, including the liver and lungs are common sites for metastases. And screening is the detection of cancer early in its course. An important word root again is carci or carcin, which means a cancer. Oma is simply a growth, so you can have an oma of anything. So a lymphoma is a growth of the lymph system or lymph node. Ectomy is removal. A lumpectomy is a removal of a lump. You can have a splenectomy, which is a removal of a spleen. Causes of cancer include increasing age, where you have more DNA damage over time, as well as genetics or family history. Some DNA is predisposed to being damaged and causing cancer. Smoking is a cause of many different types of cancer, especially lung, throat, and others. Diet and environmental toxins or exposures can also result in cancer. Prevention and treatment include behavior change, so especially smoking cessation or stopping smoking. Chemotherapy is a very common treatment for cancer. Chemotherapy medications stop cells dividing, which is why people lose their hair, because the way the hair grows is that the cells divide, and they're very rapidly dividing cells. So when somebody has chemotherapy, those cells stop dividing and the hair falls out. Surgery is another treatment for cancer. So ectomy, as I said, a splenectomy or a lumpectomy is the physical removal of a growth. And radiation is the focused ablation or destruction of cells using radioactive substances. The labs you'll see in patients who have cancer include chemistry panels, complete blood count. Blood smear is when a pathologist looks at a sample of blood through a microscope to determine whether there are any abnormal blood cells. There are also specialty screenings, including BRCA, which detects whether an individual has the gene that predisposes them to breast cancer, as well as PSA, which is prostate-specific antigen that can detect growth of the prostate, sometimes indicating cancer. Related tests you'll see in cancer are X-ray, MRI, which is magnetic resonance imaging, CT, which is computed tomography, and nuclear scans. And I'll also describe some of those in a little more detail later. A very common lab that you'll see in individuals with cancer include liver function tests or LFTs, because the liver is a very common site for metastasis, as I described earlier. The labs that are included in this series include albumin, which is a substance made by the liver, so you can tell if the liver has damage, the albumin will be decreased. ALT and AST, and you probably don't ever need to know the actual terms that those refer to, but they're both substances that come from the liver that demonstrate whether the liver has damage, just like the cardiac panel will show if the heart has damage. Alkaline phosphatase is another liver damage indicator, and bilirubin is a substance made by the liver that will demonstrate whether the liver is damaged or working properly. In summary, we reviewed the physical processes related to heart disease and cancer, and some essential data elements you would see in an electronic health record related to those conditions, and some of the lab radiology and clinical findings that you would find in patients with heart disease and cancer.